Sing me a love song.
I'm gonna.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This stuff's terrible.
It's good. You don't know how to do it.
How do I do it?
I'm gonna show you. I was born to love you. I was born to lick your face. I was born to rub you. But you were born to rub me first. Let's go into the patio.
Stuff We've Seen. This is part two of our Valentine's Day episode of That's Amore. When we last left off, Jim had just finished telling a tale back in the days of NYU, and now we pick up the action with Teal about to reveal a romantic of sorts date of his own. Take it away, Teal.
So, I have a little date story.
Okay.
It's going to be quick, because I don't remember that much about it. But, so this was a friend of mine's sister, and I asked her, I called her up and asked her if she wanted to go to the movies. Much Ado About Nothing was playing at the Latches Theater in Brattleboro, Vermont, which is still there and is kind of a cool, really cool theater. So we went to see Much Ado About Nothing. And totally enjoyed the film, and it's romantic and everything. Afterwards, I think we went out for ice cream and talked about the movie. And she loved the movie, and so did I. And, I took her home, and that was that. And a day or two later, I called her up, and I said, hey, do you want to go out again? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, I want to see that movie again. So I picked her up a few days later and we went and saw Much Ado About Nothing again, then talked about the movie. And at no point was this even headed in the direction of romance. We were friend zoned right from the beginning. I think we both kind of agreed on that. But for some reason, we kept seeing each other and we kept going to see Much Ado About Nothing.
Beyond the two times.
Beyond the two times, then we just decided to go again a few days later.
Who does that?
She became obsessed with this movie. And, you know, the fun thing about Shakespeare is that it gets better the more you listen to it or the more you watch it.
Sure.
And so each time you see this movie, especially seeing it that close together, the movie reveals more of itself as you understand it better.
Are you sure that while you may have been going along to see this movie, that she actually, after you drop her off, wasn't killed in some weird fashion and then was just reliving the same day and that she kept on having to go see Much Ado About Nothing?
Well, we ended up seeing it six times together.
Oh my God, six times. And of course, it had to have been doing its run there at the Latches Theater, so you had to see it within a short amount of time.
Oh, this was all within a 2 or 3 week period.
Did you ever get the sense that maybe she wanted something to happen between the two of you?
Not really. But we just got... So here's the thing. Then the movie left the theater, and that was the end of our dating. The movie was gone. There was no reason to see each other anymore. It wasn't even really dating, but whatever our friendship or relationship was based on was no longer there. And so there was... no reason to hang out together anymore.
There's a short story in this somewhere. I don't even know what to make of it, but that is a really crazy movie date story. And I think that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like super romance date, but like we're just recounting these things where for us, movies are not just about the films, but they're about these moments that get trapped in our brains years later.
Yes, and these experiences. And I do recommend Much Ado About Nothing. I think it's a great Valentine's movie.
I saw that in 93 in the theaters, and I went and saw it with a girlfriend that I had at the time. And it was shortly before I left L.A. after college. I went out to L.A. and you had been in L.A. and you left. So you had gone back and you were living in the Brattleboro area, clearly. Yeah. And then I saw it a second time when I returned to Massachusetts with just a friend, this girl that I knew. So I did see it twice in the theater. I don't think I've seen it that many times since. But
I haven't either.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a really enjoyable film. Okay.
So give me some other titles. Let's get some titles going.
Okay.
Before my next Shaggy Dog story.
Okay. War of the Roses.
Man, you're dark.
Well, the way I see it is this. That was 89 as well. Say, you know, you've been married for a long time. a movie like War of the Roses, you know, if your marriage can survive watching that together, you're doing good.
I have not seen that in many, many years.
So it's Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner, directed by Danny DeVito. And it's basically a couple at war with one another, trying to destroy each other in all sorts of different crazy, over-the-top ways. And, yeah, I think it's a fun movie. It's a fun couple movie. But, yeah, it's dark.
Are you gonna announce the ref next?
The ref is not on my list.
Oh.
Okay, but here's something a little quieter on my list that... And this is a movie I really like, and I just feel like it doesn't get... It got attention when it first came out, and it's sort of been forgotten about, I think. You will remember it. Tender Mercies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Robert Duvall's Oscar-winning role.
Yes, Robert Duvall's Oscar-winning role. It is a really quiet movie. It's only about 90 minutes long, and it is about... I guess it's about how love can heal.
See that cloud there in the sky, slowly drifting by. Well, that's the word, she's a drifting from me. Too long have I to myself.
And I think it's, I don't know, I really like the movie. I watched it again a couple of years ago and was really touched by it. So, you know, not necessarily a movie about the limerence, the glossy moment of romance, but about finding love at a weak point in life and how it can save people.
Very touching.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. On Golden Pond.
Well, that's a great, you know what? That is a great romance. And of course, Henry Fonda's character always reminds me of your dad.
Yeah, that's.
And Katharine Hepburn doesn't look like your mom, but just reminds me of that kind of relationship. You know?
Yeah.
And they, of course, lived off a lake at times. And
yeah, I think does it take place in New Hampshire?
It does. It takes place on Golden Pond.
On Golden Pond. But yeah, I think that's, and again, I did not see that on any of the list that I was looking at.
Well, it shouldn't be forgotten, but I think that if you think about it, it's almost 40 years old.
It's almost 40 years old, and it was critically really well received. It got award nomination. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, that movie, I was only 11 when it came out.
I saw it in the theater,
I saw it in the theater too, but I didn't see it when it was first released to an 11-year-old. It just seemed like, ugh, it's going to be this boring thing about two old people in a lake. That's honestly all I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then it was nominated for Oscars and it was getting, you know, all sorts of awards. And I was like, all right, I better see it.
Gotta
when
check
it came
it
to the second run theaters, I went and watched it. I think my sister and I both went. And what was surprising was just how relatable it was to a young child, because at one point in the summer, their daughter is dating this guy and his kid is kind of getting in the way of their relationship for the summer. And he gets kind of pawned off on this old couple. And you suddenly, this kid doesn't want to hang out with old people anymore than I wanted to see a film about old people. And then what it is he discovers these two are really cool.
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, it's a beautiful day. We're going fishing.
What? We're going what?
Fishing. You remember fishing, Norman? You're going to show Billy what life is all about on Golden Pond. Come on, Billy. Bullshit. I beg your pardon. Does that mean you can't wait to get out there, or that it's not your cup of tea?
It's bullshit. That's all.
I see. Well, come on, Norman. Let's get ready.
You like that word, don't you? Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's a good word.
And he has a great time, and it was magical, and you really get sucked into the story, and it really does is this relationship between Katharine Hepburn
and Henry Fonda.
That is so key. You see the years.
Yeah.
You see what, like, kind of a jerk this Henry Fonda guy is probably in at certain parts of his life, but why does she still love him and his endearing qualities? And it really is a magical romance film.
It is a magical romance film, and it's about romance over time, in a way. You know, they've been together so long. What have they been through? One thing I was thinking about when I came up with this list is this Joan Didion quote, which is, I'll just read you the quote. Marriage is memory. Marriage is time. Marriage is not only time. It is also paradoxically the denial of time. And I just, that idea that marriage is time, I think really comes across in On Golden Pond. And that's something that your average romantic comedy is not dealing with, those kinds of themes.
I agree.
They're often a romantic comedy is kind of selling this fantasy of what romance and love can be. And we want, and there's nothing wrong with that. We want to get caught up in that fantasy. But a movie like On Golden Pond goes a lot deeper.
Yeah, you know, honestly, if there are people out there that have not seen this film, it's available on either Netflix or Amazon Prime. You really should give it a shot, because it's just a delightful movie, really enjoyable, and it does take you on a little bit of an emotional roller coaster.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah.
So, do you have any one more before we jump into my next story, which I think is quicker than the last one?
Okay. Okay. Here's my next one. You're going to accuse me of going dark again. Don't Look Now.
That's a weird romance movie, for sure. I love it, but it's definitely a weird romance movie.
Yeah, but again, it's
more of a grieving film.
It's
right?
A grieving film. It's about a couple dealing with the loss of a child and how that affects their relationship and how they struggle through that and how they are torn apart and brought together by it. And it's a weird movie. It's essentially a horror film, but it has this romance element that, again, is about a couple dealing with something together and apart, but it's not about that initial moment of romantic attraction. It's about something a little bit deeper.
Yeah, you mean we never see them at their happy beginning point.
Exactly. Yeah, there isn't that romance moment at any point.
I mean,
right?
when it starts, I mean, they're in their settled lives
when
the movie starts. And then we fast forward to, what, a year or so after the tragedy.
Exactly. A movie that I almost put on my list, but I left off because I thought you would accuse me of being too dark. But I'm going to say it anyway. Two for the Road.
Yeah, you know what, though? That, a lot of people love that. That's a great, I think it's a great romance film, even though it's really taking place at the critical breaking up point of the relationship.
Yeah.
But then it takes you on a travelogue back in time through the various components.
Exactly. Of what, why they love each other, why they torture each other, why they, yeah.
Yeah, that's Stanley Donen. It's late 60s, Audrey Hepburn and...
Albert Finney.
And I recently watched a good chunk of it on Turner Classic Movies, maybe about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I actually first saw that in film school.
Okay.
Well, at USC, but before I went to the NYU Film School, they showed it. And it's a great movie, I think.
Oh, it's a great, great relationship movie. Yeah. One of the best, in fact. I think the dialogue is fantastic. I think it has depth. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I think when people hear Stanley Donen, Audrey Hepburn, they think like kind of like that. Oh, but it's not, it's more modern than I think people would think it was going
to
be.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a precursor to 500 Days of Summer.
You know, so if I was going to put three films in a bucket that are very similar themed,
yeah,
I would go Two for the Road, 500 Days of Summer, and Blue Valentine.
Yes.
And because all three of those films are at the point of the kind of the breakup, and then they go backwards in time to when it was fresh, and then kind of in the middle, and then in the end.
Yeah, and it explores that whole structure, but from a different perspective.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, the stories may be uplifting that we have, but the movies... bringing on a darker path.
I went for a darker note because, again, it's that idea of, like, these aren't necessarily first date movies. These are movies for the, if you've been in a relationship for a long time and you can handle something a little bit more intense.
Yeah, I like my first date movies more like Blade Runner and A Clockwork Orange.
Exactly. Those are those are good first date movies.
Oh, yeah. That's too funny. Well, as always, kid, we bring you a program that is chocked full of time spent, you know, so. But
there's only two
still,
films left on my list, so.
All right, we're going to save them. We're going to do those at the very end.
Yeah, go through your story.
Just as a nice ender. So
yeah.
I have one more story. I'd only prepared two because if I prepared three, we could be here for hours. so we, this is another NYU story, and it's a weird, it's not, this is sort of a date, but it wasn't a date. Officially, where the story takes place. We're going a year later, my junior year at NYU, and this is the fall of 1990. I, at the time, was rooming in this little apartment in the East Village.
Yes.
With this crazy character. His name was Teal. The one year, the lost year.
The lost year.
Of adventure. And in the first semester, again, more romantic foibles happening, all sorts of crazy adventures. I don't remember exactly whether I bumped into this person on the street or not, but I had a friend from the photo department named Caroline. And she actually, I think you knew her through this guy, John, that we'd hang out with.
Yes. Yeah, I knew her.
They kind of had a friend zone relationship the year before. And I kind of knew Caroline because she used to hang out with John over the house of this girl that I was in the friend zone with the year before. It's very incestuous how this all kind of works.
Caroline,
out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd see Caroline around the photo department and stuff. And, you know, it's funny, when you are not romantically thinking about a person, you tend to be friends with them and you think it's just friends. And you never really even think, oh, that the other person might think that way.
Right.
So Carolyn and I were just friends. That's all. We were friends for years, years later after NYU and such. And I only thought of us as friends. And whether or not she may have had some romantic interest at any point in time, I don't know. But she invited me to her apartment. And at the time, she was living in one of the dorms at NYU, kind of like these weird dorms over in Union Square area. And she wanted to show me this video of Michael Caine. He had this very famous video.
Very famous Michael Caine on
giving
acting
lessons.
Yes.
Why she thought that I would be interested in seeing this, I really don't know. But she invited me over. And I don't know whether I told her at the time or I just surprised her later, but I was sort of saying, hey, can my friend Teal come over? My roommate, Teal. And she knew him. But I certainly, whether I told her or not I was bringing you, I told you I was bringing you. And maybe yes. Subconsciously I needed a little backup protection just so that she didn't get any wrong
ideas.
Well,
nobody wants to watch the Michael Caine video unsupervised.
Yeah, you want to share the love.
You need a chaperone.
That's what you were. You were my chaperone. You were my main man, my alternate plan, my sidekick. Yeah, you were everything there. So you and I both head on over to Carolyn's, and this is why I guess maybe I was a little suspicious, and maybe she seemed a little surprised that I had brought my roommate along, because she had gotten rid of all her roommates.
Oh, she'd clean the place out for you.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe they just weren't out. This is where, you know, maybe I'm an unreliable narrator. I don't remember everything. So just go with me on the journey.
Okay, I'm with you.
Okay, so we go and we watch this half-hour Michael Caine video. It's pretty funny.
I remember one detail specifically from the video.
It's probably what I remember and never forgot, but you go ahead and tell it.
Well, actually two things, but one is Michael Caine saying, when you're talking to somebody, pick an eye. Don't look back and forth between their eyes. Just talk to one eye.
That part I don't remember. I remember the other eye part, which is don't blink when you're on camera.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. He's like, don't blink because it makes you look weak. You're only on camera for a few seconds, so just keep your eyes open. So I was always thinking about that. I occasionally will watch an acting performance and say, are they blinking?
I think about the eye thing because sometimes I see people's eyes going back and forth and you can see the pupils shifting. So he's right about that. Pick an eye. Actors listening to the show, pick an eye and don't blink.
So we watched that and kind of, you know, that was it. It wasn't like a long 2-hour movie or anything. And I think you and I were like, okay, coats, we're heading out, we're heading back to the apartment. And she was like, you know, don't leave yet. She invites us over to her table, you know, kitchen table. And she's like, gets us some beers from her fridge. She's like, oh, you know, have a drink. And so, you know, we're going to be polite. We're going to have a drink. But you didn't seem, I could just tell, you didn't seem like you really wanted to be there. You kind of had that look and kind of like, when are we going to get to leave? And giving me that kind of, when's it okay kind of thing. And I could just tell when you are engaged, you bring up, find new conversation things to throw in, and when you want to get out, you just get a little bit more like, meh.
Time to go.
Yeah, so it was getting a bit like, all right, we're going to have this drink, and then we're going to get the hell out of here. And nothing against Carolyn. I mean, you know, she was very nice and fun, but whatever the particular mood we were in, we were just in the mood for a short visit.
Yeah.
So we were starting to think about when we would be getting out of there. Then the door opened to the apartment, right? Door comes in, and it was almost like a whirling dervish. It was sort of like this person who was making an entrance, making it known she was home. This was one of Carolyn's roommates, her suite mate, this girl named Sarah. And in walks this girl with jet black hair, sort of a short bob. She was wearing a white T-shirt and blue jeans. Kind of the standard actress, student actress dress.
I can't remember. I mean, I can't believe you remember all of that.
I know. It's sad that I have this bizarre memory for things, but we're not going to. That's a different program that we'll talk about, this kind of thing I have where I can remember certain details. But then there's a lot of things I don't remember of things, right? But I guess it made an impression, right? Well, yeah. You remember things that make an impression. And she came swooping in, and immediately the two of us were like diverted. I mean, it wasn't like she was the most stunning person we'd ever seen in our lives and, shine a spotlight. But
there was some distraction.
There was a distraction. And maybe maybe it was me. I just, something about her. I was like instantly, like the second I saw her, I thought, hey, whoa, who's this? Who you been hiding, Caroline?
Clearly she did not have that impact on me because I remember the Michael Caine video. I remember Caroline.
Right, you don't remember her.
I don't remember her at all. So clearly.
I am going to fill you in, sir. So, you know, she shuts the door and it was like Caroline just had this look like, this is not who I wanted to come in right now. And they're like, oh, guys, this is my roommate, Sarah. And she's like, oh, hi, everybody. And she like kind of, I just got back from acting class or whatever she, you know, announced. And then she went off into her room and, it was, you know, we watched her go. And then that was it. And kind of thought, well, maybe this is the opportunity for us to kind of do that, stand up in unison and say, well, it's been nice. We got to get going.
Yeah.
So before we could get to that, the bedroom door opens again and Sarah comes popping out and she takes a seat.
at the table.
And Carolyn, and this is probably something you weren't observing. I like to observe what body language is. Carolyn seemed to be really ticked because suddenly we were reengaged. You know, it's a new it was like a toy. It was a new person for us to talk to. And we're listening to this girl talk and tell us about her day or whatever. And she's just going on. It didn't even matter what she was talking about. I think the two of us were just, we weren't smitten by her. We just, hey, she's interesting.
I think you were a little smitten.
Maybe. And I think that you may have been picking up on this vibe, or you just felt like you wanted to make some trouble. Because I think you might have saw the dynamic. Sometimes you see a room and you're like, oh, you know, Carolyn invited us over. It might be fun. Let's have a little fun here, right? Because Jim, and you like to sometimes put people on the spot in embarrassing situations. I don't think you do that today. I don't know, but you did then.
I know you did. I absolutely did that then.
You know, before we, I think we, again, there's like about 30 times that we were going to try to get up and leave. All of a sudden you say to, like, sort of the, you just announced to the room, you said, hey, Jim. And you did. You used to call me Jim all the time. You said, hey, Jim, you know, Sarah, she should audition for your movie. And suddenly, like, everyone's looking at me, and Sarah's like, what movie? And now I'm like, I don't freaking believe it. So that year, I was taking a narrative film class, and you have to make like a 5 or 6 minute movie.
Right.
And you pitch your script idea, and only so many get picked. And then if yours gets picked, you get to be the director of the film. And then you have a little crew of the people in your class, because your film crew. So my script got picked, and I did need an actor and an actress. And I hadn't really gotten around to figuring out auditions and things. And I certainly wasn't thinking about it that night, but you had opened your mouth, and now I'm telling this story, and I'm like, you know, thinking to myself, this girl doesn't know me. She doesn't want to be in this film. And instead, she, of course, and I think this is where you knew, like, oh, no, Tisch acting students, they are interested in your projects.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, I totally want to do it. I'd love to audition. This sounds great, and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, I don't believe it. So now I'm actually, I get her phone number, right? And so it was really weird. It's like suddenly, you know, you're over for one thing, and you always had said this thing, and it came true in the last story, and it's this one is sort of expect the unexpected.
Right.
I certainly wasn't expecting Carolyn's roommate to come in, be an acting student, sit down with us, and then you mention my movie, and then her wanting to audition for my film. And so, you know, we walk away with the fact that I've got to call this person up and audition them for my movie. A few days later, I do that. And she's very nice about it. And she's just very, you know, conversational. And she comes on, I think she comes over and she auditions. And, I probably thought she was cute and liked her. And I probably was like, I don't even want to audition anybody else.
Right.
Just give her the role because then I get to hang out with her. But I really, it honestly was really not thinking anything romantic. I really probably thought she just wanted to be in my movie.
You were smitten right from the first moment.
I guess I was.
You were, because you remember it. It made an impression.
I know. Well, so, you know, I think what also made the impression is the rest of the story. So I was in that kind of phase where I wasn't looking for a girlfriend. I'd already had some like weird things, kind of entanglements already happening that semester. And I thought, well, okay, you know, she's nice and she'll be great for my movie. And this is fun. And she's a really nice person. Wasn't really thinking that we were going to be a couple or anything. So through our conversation, when we were doing this audition thing, somehow the topic of Disney's Fantasia came up.
Okay.
So Disney had been, it was like this anniversary.
Yeah, that movie was always being re-released.
Yeah, but this time the negative was in kind of rough shape. They went and did a whole restoration.
Right, right.
And they restored everything beautifully. They spent all this money and work on it. And as part of the restoration, they were releasing some 70mm prints.
Yes.
Of Fantasia in some select theaters. And of course, when you lived in New York City,
you have that opportunity.
Yeah, and that, you know, and I knew from 70mm with the 6-track, it was all about, you know, hearing the sound of these scores. And I was, you know, started telling her a little bit about this, and she's like, oh my God, I would love to see that. Sounds so great. I love Fantasia. Oh, well, when are you going to go? I would like to go. And I'm like, oh, well, okay, we could go. Sure. So suddenly, you know, we've created a kind of a date to go to this movie. But I really was thinking, you know, that, well, it's nice. She's my actress and we're just going as friends.
Right.
And I don't think I was picking up that maybe she, you know, again, I never really thought about that girls were interested in me. It was just always my flaw. I never would have thought. I always thought I was interested in girls. They're not necessarily interested in me. Even if I got the signals, I just didn't pick up on them. Anyway, day comes, we're going to go to this movie. And at this point, you had heard that I was going to with her. And John, your friend, also who knew Sarah because they were in the same dorm the year before.
Right, right.
He knew. And, you know, I think there was a little razzing going on that I was going on. And you're giving me a little bit of a hard time. And I'm like, you know, just knock it off, buddy. This is just, we're just going. And it was sort of like, yeah, sure, you know. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. We're just going to the movies. So,
yeah, and we were just being silly.
So I went and picked her up and hung out in her dorm for a little bit. And then we went up. And it's funny is it was playing close by our place, but she had seen that it was playing in 70 millimeter close to where her acting studio was for school. So we like took the subway up and went uptown. It was like in the 40s there. We went and saw this movie. And, you know, again, this power of cinema. Seeing this film, it was kind of felt like the first time watching it. I'd seen it as a kid.
Right,
I thought
it was
boring. But this beautiful print, the colors were so vibrant in the 70 millimeter, and the sound, it was as if the orchestra was right there in the theater. It created this power. And even though the two of us were not on a date, There was just this chemistry. You were having a romantic moment.
And that actually is kind of a romantic, it's a good date movie, actually.
Yeah, so we're sitting there, you know, and it's can you get cozy in a theater, and you feel safe because, you know, we had a purpose. We're kind of like, she's going to be in my film, and so we have, like, there's a reason for her to have an association with me, and where we're talking about a lot of stuff and kind of talking about our childhood love of certain Disney cartoons and how the two of us both love the Rescuers. You know, we're going on we're just talking about things. And she's like, oh, I have this Disney, I have the Rescuers record. And I'm like, oh, we have a record. You know, it's like not setting up a date, but like we there was conversation. And after this movie, we just, you walked out again. It was that on a cloud feeling, the film, we're having a good time. And suddenly, you know, you're just feeling closer with this person and you're falling for them a little bit. I'm not letting anything happen, and I'm not thinking anything happen, and I'm like felt like it would be actually
but you're having,
for me to cross
you're
the
having
line.
That, those initial moments of seeing somebody maybe in a romantic way.
Yeah, but I still was like, I kind of, it wasn't even like, well, geez, do you think I can get out of the friend zone here? I was really
It's just a notion at that point.
Yeah, and it's really thinking, you know, the thing is, she's my actress, whatever. I mean, maybe after the film, if we're still like going, who knows, right? But that's all I was thinking about. And then we get back to my apartment. I don't even know why we're back. Maybe we had to like run lines or something. I don't know. But we were back at the apartment. You weren't there. But there was a phone message on the machine. So I hit the answering machine. And she's there in the apartment. Maybe she left something. I don't know why she was there in the apartment, but she was. And suddenly I hear this really obnoxious phone message left by you and John. And it was in a teasing way. And it was all like, ooh, Jim, you're going out with Sarah. Ooh. And then you'd hear John go, kissy, kissy, on a date. Oh, I wonder how that date's going to go. And I'm like listening to this, and I'm trying not to even look over at Sarah, and I don't even want to know what her face is. And I'm like, I'm not only mortified, but I'm just angry. I'm like, this is not a date. It is not a date. What's going on? I'm like looking, and I'm almost like to her. I'm like, I swear, I didn't say it was a date. Like, but instead of it being like the thing that would just totally wreck things, I think it was almost, it worked a different way for her. It was sort of like, oh, maybe he does like me.
See, I was just helping you out there.
Yeah, you were just helping me out, buddy. So, you know, so then that chapter ended and it really, I thought that was it. But then something happened. And what happened was, my film production got delayed. There were some equipment issues and what have you. And I was one of the first people whose crew was supposed to go shoot their film. And you were actually going to be, you were out at like your cousin had a film festival down south somewhere.
Right.
And you were attending that with him. So that weekend, originally, you were going to be just, you know, not around.
Right.
It was going to be perfect because we were going to shoot in the apartment and that got canceled.
Yes. And
so suddenly I actually wasn't going to be shooting for a few more weeks, which was great because I was totally not ready. The weekend comes and there was a girl that was at the photo department that had expressed interest in me. She kept on coming by. I worked in this photo cage. She'd come by. She was a photo student.
Wait, is this the same story?
No. Yeah, it's the same story, but okay. I'm taking a side pattern. At this point, I don't care about length. You know what I mean? We're just going to go with the story. So, but I was, this is just weird. This is just, I want to just tell you how this all happened. So this girl would come by and she'd keep suggesting like, oh, this particular movie or that particular movie. And, oh, it's good. Oh, yeah, I think you'd really like it. And, oh, you know, I'd totally see it again. Like she was throwing out really major hints.
Right.
And at one point, I just looked at her once because she was totally like, kind of like, dude, are you not getting what I'm trying to tell you? And I said, well, I just want to be clear. Like, if, you know, it sounds like, you know, we want to, maybe I should go see this movie maybe with you, but like, what would this guy Josh think? And she's like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, you know, that guy that you're always hanging out with, your boyfriend? And then she had this look of terror on her face. And she's like, I don't have a boyfriend. He's just my friend. So there's this guy that she'd always been hanging out with. And I'd see her.
And you thought was like, the boyfriend.
Well, they were inseparable. And I once was at a film screening and I saw the two of them. They sat next to me and I thought they were a couple. So every time she'd ask me about these movies and kind of hint, I just thought like, I'm not going to get involved with with this relationship over here. I don't break up things. So after that got cleared up, it was kind of like, oh, okay. So I saw her earlier in that week and I said, hey, you know, well, what's your number? Like, we should get together. And I was like, oh, well, I feel pretty confident that I could ask her out and she'd say yes. And she gave me her number. And so I called her. I don't know where you were at the time, but I said, hey, I'm free this weekend because my movie wasn't going to be there. Because I think originally I'd said, oh, we should go out, but I gotta film my project this weekend. So maybe afterwards. And I say that. She's like, I can't. My mom is coming into town. I really want to, but I can't this weekend. Cause maybe afterwards. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Friday comes. You would take it off. I was just sitting alone in the apartment. I was doing some homework. And the phone rings. And on the phone is this girl, Mary Lynn, who you remember.
Sort of.
Okay. Well, this girl, Mary Lynn, she hung out with us a few times. And so she calls up and is like, hey, what are you up to? And I'm like, oh, nothing. She's like, oh, maybe we could go to dinner or something. You know, she was like a friend and, you know, that was not unusual. So I'm like, sure. Then the phone beeps in, the call waiting. And I'm like, oh, hold on. I got to get this. Pick up the phone. And it's Sarah. And she's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, oh, good. So she's like, hey, what are you doing? Are you doing anything tonight? And I'm like, she's like, because I thought maybe we could hang out. And I said, hold on. Let me just hold on a second. I call back and say, hey, Mary Lynn, I can't go out. I forgot I had something going on. And I click back and I'm like, yeah, I'm totally free, Sarah. So we hung out pretty much the whole weekend while you were gone. And then after that, you know, for a little while anyway, we were kind of a little bit of a couple. And so that Monday, I go back to the photo department I'm working, and that other girl comes by and she's like, so, okay, hey, you know, my mom's gone and stuff, so maybe we should make plans for next weekend. And I say, ooh, sorry. I think I'm going to be tied up at this point. So anyways, that's the story. And it's just I really feel that if that movie to see Fantasia hadn't happened, none of the other stuff would happen.
No, that instigated the romance, really.
Yeah. So those are my little romance stories. Okay, so, and now let's get those last couple of films out there to the people.
But first, for some reason, while you were telling these stories, a scene from a movie kept popping into my head. And I don't know why, but it's the scene in Swingers where Jon Favreau is leaving a message on...
yes.
And he leaves the message, and then he hangs up and calls back to leave another message to correct what he said on the first message.
It just gets worse and worse.
And he just digs himself in worse and worse and worse.
Hi, this is Nikki. Leave a message.
Hi, Nikki, this is Mike again. I just called because it sounded like your machine might have cut me off before I finished leaving my number. Anyway, sorry to call so late, but you were still at the Dresden when I left, so I knew I'd get your machine. Anyhow, my number is 21.
Hi, this is Nikki. Leave a message.
213-555-4679. That's it. Just want to leave my number. I didn't want you to think I was weird or desperate. We should just hang out and see where it goes, because it's nice and, you know, no expectations. So, okay? Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Nikki. Leave a message.
I just got out of a 6-year relationship, okay? That should help explain why I'm acting so weird. I just wanted you to know that. It's not you, it's me. I'm sorry. This is Mike. Hi, Nikki. This is Mike. Could you just call me when you get in? I'm going to be up for a while, and I'd just rather speak to you in person instead of trying to fit it all into the... Fuck!
Hi, this is Nikki. Leave a message.
Nikki and Mike. This just isn't working out. I think you're great, but... maybe we should just take some time off from each other. It's not you, it's me, it's what I'm going through. All right? It's only been 6 months.
Mike?
Nikki! Great! Did you just walk in, or were you listening all along?
Don't ever call me again.
Wow! I guess you're home.
I know. I liked that movie, especially at the time, because I think I really related.
Yeah.
to that character. So,
yeah, for some reason, your stories reminded me of that character.
I know. Lovable loser Jim.
Then, of course, that makes me Vince Vaughn in the story.
But see, that's why I think I love Swingers, because you really were. You were always the Vince Vaughn, and I was always the Jon Favreau.
Yeah. So, okay, maybe we should talk about Swingers at some point.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Oh, Doug Liman.
Yeah, Doug Liman again. Okay, last two films here. First one I'm going to talk about is the best film of all time.
Oh, great. Tell me. Okay.
It is the best film of all time, according to...
Oh, I know what you did. Oh, okay.
According to Sight and Sound's 2012 poll of film directors.
I know what you're going to say.
Go ahead.
Tokyo Story.
Yes, Ozu's Tokyo Story.
Quite frequently rated one of the top films of all time.
Yeah. And it is a story about love and marriage and family and aging. It's really amazing. I don't know quite how to sell this film other than to say you need to watch it. It's long. It takes some getting used to. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. It takes a little getting used to. It was released in Japan and was considered too Japanese for American audiences, and so wasn't really released in the U.S. until the 70s, about 20 years after it came out in Japan. And then it's picked up a lot of critical acclaim. I think this is a great Valentine's Day movie for, I don't know, I would recommend this to my parents for Valentine's Day.
I think it's, I have not seen the entire movie.
Yeah.
I don't want to even tell you the story why, but it involves Criterion no longer being involved in certain services, but I will be getting back to it. And I think there's a lot to talk about in that. It's probably its own episode.
It's its own episode.
But there's a certain style that the director Ozu was known for. And it does take some getting used to, and it may not be for everyone's taste. The camera doesn't move. And it's almost like the camera becomes a character.
Yes.
and it's placed in a certain way, the way he'll switch the camera from position to position as if it is one of the characters.
Exactly.
So it's a very interesting approach.
Yeah, that's very well put. Yeah.
But that's a great one from what I've seen. I mean, it is very interesting, and it's above all the things you said. So you have one more.
Okay. One more. Are you ready? Eyes Wide Shut.
May I have the password, please?
Fidelio.
I was thinking of that movie that we left it off on our holiday film because it's a great Christmas movie.
It is a great Christmas movie, but I think it's a great Valentine's movie too. And you know, what's interesting is co-written with Kubrick, of course, but it was written by Frederick Raphael, who wrote Two for the Road.
That is interesting.
Yes. And I think it's Kubrick picked him because of Two for the Road.
Oh, well, definitely, it's about sort of like that crossroads disintegration of a marriage kind of thing.
Exactly. But what's great about Eyes Wide Shut is that so much of that disintegration takes place internally. So anyhow, Eyes Wide Shut is about a marriage being tested sort of within itself. Everything that happens is basically from one conversation this couple has, and then it sort of spins off from there, and it's a question of can they survive this internally. And it's all externalized in beautiful ways and dramatized in great ways. But it's a story about a marriage, and I think Kubrick really wanted to make a story about marriage. That's not necessarily a romance. It's not about falling in love. It's about what marriage means. And so I think Eyes Wide Shut, great Valentine's movie.
Certainly about the complexities of a marital relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you can see a movie that really gets you thinking about those things and asking those questions, maybe it's challenging, right? It challenges our notions of romance and love and all these things, but I feel like those challenges are good, and that's what a good movie can do, is get you to think about your own life in a new way. And so the movies on my list are sort of oriented towards that, is does this change somehow how you see love or romance or marriage?
Hey, and gang, if you just want the good old-fashioned comedy, Hitch is probably available.
No.
I know.
Watch The Money Pit.
Yeah, if you need that romantic, funny comedy, watch The Money Pit.
Yeah, or The Thin Man.
So listen, I think this has been fun. And
longest episode ever.
Well, you know, by the time we edit it down, it'll still be long, but we'll see. But very important news, and yes. I'll probably have to restate this news on a shorter program, maybe at the beginning of the program next time. But guess what, everybody? We are now officially on the web at stuffweveseen.com. No apostrophe in there.
No.
But stuffweveseen.com, it's a website, and there you can get all our episodes. I mean, you can get all our episodes
many
on iTunes and many places, and if you hit subscribe on them, then you're always going to get the new episode. But now you can go to the website that is our website, and we are going to be putting up articles and other things that we write to complement the show, so you can get more stuff we've seen at Stuff We've Seen.
Exactly. You can contact us through there. You can leave comments on the shows, all sorts of things. It's you can interact with the site and interact with us through it.
Yep. And we're going to have, like I said, I'm going to be talking about 70mm films on there. Mm-hmm. We'll be having some gripes. We'll have rants. We'll have raves. You name it, we're going to be putting it up there. So check on that site for more Stuff We've Seen fun.
Excellent. And until all next time, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. Goodbye. So if you've got a lifetime to spare,
come on, baby, na-na-na-na-na.
Come on, baby, na-na-na-na-na.